Welcome to the Starfound Podcast, an actual play podcast of the tabletop role-playing game Starfinder by the lovely people at Paizo. Now, some of you may know Starfinder and its cousin D&D and may know exactly what I'm talking about. And some of you may be totally in the dark. Don't worry, I'm here to fill you in. A tabletop role-playing game mixes the boundaries between long-form improvisation and board games. And what this means is that a group of friends sit around a table and collaboratively tell a story, the outcome of which is decided by rolls on a 20-sided die that's modified by the character's abilities and skills. Now, several of these friends are the players, and they have made characters that are the heroes of the story. Meanwhile, one friend takes on the role of the game master, who is sort of the arbiter of the game. They play, but they are also directing the action, you might say. So as the game plays out, if a player wants their character to shoot a laser blaster to hit the target of their bounty in the knee, there are mechanics for that. Or if the heroes need to get into a factory that's producing an army of war robots, they might choose to disguise themselves, or they might try to talk their way in, or they might have some other way of doing it and we talk it out together. We are recording this second season of Starfound live on twitch.tv/HearthsingerGames every Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. So go give us a follow right now. The first season is available on iTunes, Spotify, and SoundCloud now, as well as on our YouTube page, so go get caught up. Give us follows, likes, and where you can, write positive or constructive comments. It really helps to get our podcast into the hands of more listeners. New episodes will be released every Wednesday evening, but if you just can't wait that long, head over to patreon.com/starfoundpod and consider pledging at least $5 to get access to the video a whole week earlier, as well as some other sweet patron-only rewards, including private streams and polls that affect the story of the podcast. Now let's meet some of these mooks. Are mostly fearless starfinders.
I'm Anne Richmond, and I play Amaruk Yuka, Vlaka Solarian, First Claw of Clan Yuka, and Emotional Support Captain for the crew of the Kingfisher.
I'm Helena Anderson, and I play Jaleskia, a very clumsy Kasathan mystic zoologist, and I believe in the pursuit of knowledge and friendship. Friendship is good, too.
Hi, my name is Parker Wallace, and I play Caster 9, android mechanic and pilot of the Kingfisher. Happy to be of service.
Hi, I'm Dexter Warren, and I play Jabberwocky, a Skittermander Technomancer. I'm a magical boy tech whiz with a love of stories and shinies.
Now sit back, strap in, or at least hold on to something. Let's get Starfound. You all had fought your way back into the main city of Brightclaw, and you got your way through quarantine, had a long planning conversation with Dirtbath about what the next step was, and you discovered that the Prime Claw was still trackable, and that it had been traveled via subterranean methods down underneath the crust of this moon, and had actually ended up only a couple hundred miles from where you are now. So you took off, flying down there. The other thing that happened is that you were contacted by whatever is maybe controlling, maybe has potential control over. You don't really know this swarm of insect-like, cuttlefish-like creatures that are attacking Brightclaw. Am I forgetting anything?
I mean, that all sounds pretty shitty, so probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah, I already got dewormed, so we're okay.
Yeah.
We gave Helena her heartworm medicine.
Great. So, oh my god. You arrived down at this facility, which was surrounded by a very strangely energized shield, right? Which was like super, super high tech. So it was shrouding a bunch of energy that was coming out of this spot, as well as also prevented you from entering. So you had to hack your way through this like genetically tailored jungle that seemed like it was grown to keep people out. And then you hacked your way inside of the shield. And as we left you, you had just entered into this facility that looked similar to the other pre-gap facilities that you had found on this moon, your home moon of Brightclaw. And the darkness around you, you press deeper and deeper inward what are you guys doing as you're going down the stairs? Any actions, any questions, any conversations you want to have?
Can I grab a leaf or something, and I'm going to cast a token spell on it so it sheds a bit of dim light in 30 feet. A nice, like, red kind of cozy glow, if I can find a leaf. I'm assuming I could find one.
Ooh, yeah, absolutely. I'm totally into that. Cozy glow.
A cozy glowing leaf.
Amazing. I will meditate for 1 minute to attune my side reel influence to diplomacy.
Beautiful. And the several Vlaka that are with you look nervous. They have like semblances of weapons. A lot of what they have are either farming implements. A couple of them have like hunting spears and stuff with them as well, right? But they don't. They've charged into this without much preparation to defend their homes. And this may be a little above what they were even expecting, right?
What should we do about that? Great question, Anne.
The rest of this podcast will be led by Anne, hosting Anne, yeah.
Anne. Hosting Anne, and who's
Anne? Anne feet Anne.
Yeah, who is she, though? So Amaruk kind of does a double take as she realizes, the Vlaka are sort of underprepared, we'll say, from a combat perspective. And she will say to them, you know, it's not always all about fighting. Sometimes it is about knowing the right way to go. I know some of you are good trackers as well. And if you can help us keep our wits about us and figure out the best way to go, I think that could be very helpful. But if you don't feel ready to fight, just know there are other things that you can do.
Great. Make me a diplomacy check if you would be so kind.
Sure.
So
will.
Kind.
Hiya.
That did not look good.
I mean, it is a natural one.
Oh. Roll that out early.
It's a 27.
Roll it out early.
But with side reel influence altogether. It is a 15.
Oh, 15 ain't too bad. They kind of look back and forth amongst each other, shoulder their gear and get ready to continue onwards. They're not like particularly bolstered, but like they aren't like
running.
Yeah, they aren't running for the hills now that they're heading into some ancient dungeon. Right?
Yeah.
Dex, anything from you?
I mean, does anyone know how to use a blaster pretty well? Because, someone could borrow Screamin' Meanie, and I hold up my sonic pistol.
Oh, yeah. I also have a blaster I could give, too. That's a great idea. I never use it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The one of the Vlaka kind of, inches forward and... You get the sense, Amaruk, right? That there's this sense of like this fear to be a coward even among extreme situations, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is 100% of
life. Right? Because, like, having your own weapon and your own thing and doing your best with what you have, right, is super important. And all the things that they're holding, like, they now consider to be theirs, right? I mean, so for some of them, it's their literal hunting weapons, right? So it's, like, what they use on a daily basis. So they're, like, one of them kind of steps forward, looks at it a few times, and then, like, takes a step back and shakes his head and grunts stoically.
Okay, well.
Great,
yep. Beggars can't be choosers.
And she kind of like nods and says, just remember, no matter what, we're here to help solidify a new home for us and for everyone back on Logic. And that means surviving is the most important thing. So if you need to make a split second decision and I am not there to tell you what to do, running, surviving to fight another day is always an option for you. And I will not judge you for it.
Noted. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. They hear you.
Yeah. I just want to be very clear about that. I'm not here to kill some Vlaka. I'm
that has been stuck in the tactics banks, but I can't speak for what the enemies will do. If there even are enemies. If there even are enemies. There's definitely, there may not be any enemies. I mean,
no.
None.
All right. So we're continuing onwards, right? The stairs lead down and kind of arc around. You hear this like gentle rumbling in the walls as you get deeper and deeper, right? And eventually, the stairs end in this kind of, almost it looks like an anteroom, right? This kind of antechamber. But down here, deeper below, the subterranean walls of everything have, there's a certain claustrophobic quality to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as you look around, you can see that this place has aged really, really poorly. But the bones have stayed very, very strong, right? Like, this place has survived. Everyone's like, bones? Bones, where?
Yeah.
Of the building.
The bones of the building have survived.
Okay. Oh, I got excited.
I see.
Varying degrees of excitement at that word. It's like it survived tectonic changes, right? Like this subterranean building that probably should have been torn apart has like almost magically, or perhaps actually magically, survived massive years and years and years of change. But can I get a culture check from one of you?
Who's got the highest?
I feel like
I'm pretty good. Yeah. I got 14.
So one thing I learned is that I can actually do an aid action. So I learned this when I was reading about Vlaka and trying to write more Vlaka, is that I didn't realize that I had this ability, but I can actually give you, instead of the typical +2, I can double that as a Vlaka. So my aid function is
man's best friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, I rolled a 25.
Great.
Great. So a 29 with the aid. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So looking around, right, this place looks like it has these kind of soft angles to it, right? And while the outside may have been a little bit sharper and almost foreboding, the inside of here looks like there are no hard edges. Which a feature which has been accentuated by the long passage of time. However, you can see that in the far side of the room, there are also like these almost they're like clearly vent panels that lead around the side of the room. You guys can see them. Let's activate our map. Let's get into it.
Activate.
Let's just activate that map. So over here, right? You can see that there are these various different, those things beyond, like, the clear wall there, right? Those are below standing height, right? They're, like, only about up to your hip. And they're little crawl spaces, and they're, like, little vents that pop up, right? And as you start to look around the room, you see that those that you could easily get into them. They have like swing doors that lead open, and the walls inside of there are have a little bit more machinery inside of there, but they're also they maintain the kind of soft aesthetic of the gentle angles and swoops in the architecture. The other thing that you notice is that there are barrels, a few containers that are not relics of a bygone age. They look kind of cast a little bit haphazardly into this room, right? Almost like discarded, almost.
Can I investigate one of those and see if there's anything inside of them, any remnants of what could have been inside?
That's a great question. Yeah, absolutely. So you get closer and you start to look inside, and this like caustic smell like wafts out and kind of like burns your nose as you try to sniff it. Clearly this is some kind of fuel or something. You could make what would that be? I would give an engineering check for this. Okay. It might not be you. You could say, hey, someone
That's
else.
That's true. Hey, guys, this...
We'll never know how she finished her sentence.
Hey, guys, this...
Oh, no.
You froze.
Say it again.
This smells a lot like... What?
Keep freezing, and it's so sad.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Hi. I'm so sorry.
Oh.
Yes.
Can somebody investigate?
That's so tragic.
Yeah. Nothing all right, here we go.
Go for it, Parker. Yeah. As we wait for Kia to come back.
Pastor's going to go and investigate the barrels.
Great.
Oh, boy.
Gosh. Where is my character sheet? Because I want to roll on the thingy.
Yeah, absolutely. Double click on your token.
Oh,
easy access.
All you have to do.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Doi.
Oh, my dogs.
The roll. So I roll.
Ooh, a 28. Yeah, absolutely. Great. So Parker rolled a 28. After you stuntingly asked Castor to check out the barrels. And it looks like the inside of it is indeed a very, very heavy, very, very radioactive form of fuel. Something pulled from like the dregs of a dying star, the last breath of a solar system.
Ooh.
And this is like extremely expensive. And also extremely potent.
It sounds
very
not good.
Interesting.
Doesn't that wouldn't it be good if we could get some of that, you know, up to our friend above? I mean, he did sort of cut this out of the deal.
Quite possibly. I mean, unless it's like very, 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 very radioactive, which I mean, I don't know a lot about gases.
We'll have to tread carefully here. You never know what adverse side effects that might cause.
Plus, we have to survive whatever's about to happen, so we'll see if that happens.
there's like tail wagging as she's like, you know, listening to you guys, but the more negative it gets, the tail rhythm is just a little bit slower.
Really.
Any other questions, comments, concerns?
I mean, if anything, we could come back for it. Maybe we could find these.
Well, let's avoid it for now, you know, and then like Castor said, I think they are very smart up here, you know, trying to keep us away from the radioactive fuel.
Anytime? Castor's like calculating why he has to tell someone that being around radioactive stuff is bad.
No, eat.
Not.
What's in your mouth?
Drop it.
So the last piece of information about this room that I actually neglected to mention, I was trying to figure out exactly how to describe architecture, is that there are two entrances and exits, and you've just come through one of them. The other one is on the, let's call it the north side of the room.
Okay.
And this long room has a grate in the bottom of the floor as well.
Can I take a look at the, like, through the grate and see if I can tell what might be below?
Absolutely.
And like maybe I can send my psychokinetic hand and sort of feel around below.
Getting handsy, yeah. Getting psychokinetic handsy. So you absolutely can see clearly down through this grate that there's a bunch of machinery down there, right? But the types of machinery seem to be, there's a lot of pumps, there's a lot of tubes, right? It's clear that there was like a lot of liquid running through this area for one reason or another.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, go ahead.
Did I happen to check if state of matter the fuel is in? If it's liquid or gas or plasma?
Typically, this type of fuel is plasma.
Great. Okay. So,
yeah.
They're not pumping the fuel. That's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, because you're psychokinetic handing it, because you're giving a psychokinetic hand job to these to these tubes, you can feel
That's my new band.
Oh, man.
My new band.
You can feel that there's nothing running through them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it seems to be shut down. I'm not sure if I'd be able to tell how long it's been shut down, but I have a -2 intelligence, you know.
Well, I mean, this building's obviously old as balls, so I would say it's been empty for quite a while.
Perhaps we should move with the alacrity then, in case they start up again. You never know.
Let's lurk with a purpose.
Right. Lurk with a purpose.
Great. Fantastic.
Right. Fantastic.
I would like to roll a stealth check.
What was that, Jax? I'm so sorry.
I would like to stealth if I can.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to go ahead of everyone else?
Just ever so slightly.
Great. So Jabby takes the lead. Caster in the front. I mean, not... Oh, that's confusing. Spellcaster in the front.
Don't like that. It's fine.
So you push ahead. Yeah. I'm going to move for you, Jabby, a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I will have... I'll go behind Jabby.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I'll go behind Amaruk.
Oh. And Kia in the back. I'm into it. All right.
And we'll send the Vlaka behind Kia.
Great. Absolutely. All right. So, Jabby, how many feet ahead do you want to be? Out of curiosity.
15 feet.
I love it.
Good number.
I'm into it. Good a number. Great year.
So far away from us.
So you begin to slowly push forward, right? And ahead, you see that there's this larger room coming up. And you can see stairs leading up to the left. And inside, you can hear nothing. This deafening silence of emptiness. And you continue forward, I'm assuming. Let me know if you want to stop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I activate telepathic message and just apprise everyone of what I see as we're seeing it.
Love that. Absolutely. Love that.
I'm
going to activate my force field on my armor, so it'll be at a full 5.
Great.
Just like, you know, in case.
Just, you know, just because that's a good idea. Great. So Jabby emerges out into the front of this area. So ahead, inside of this room ahead of you, you can see that there's stairs leading up to the left, but a large portion of this room, which is almost like this, it's this long hallway that reaches down much, much further to your right. It has these not quite tubes, and not quite tanks. They look like they would be tanks, but in the space in between them is this kind of glowing energy. And Jabby, would you make an engineering check as you're the first one to see this?
I would love to. All right.
That is a engineering. That is a 30 on the dot.
30 on the dot. So it looks like
the DC.
All of these various different tubes that have this, or not tubes, spaces in between two pieces of machinery that have this glowing energy. It looks like, from what you can tell, that they are there to create a gravity-less environment.
Ooh.
Inside of these tiny little bubbles, right? And the bubble that they're holding is about 3 feet tall by a foot and a half wide, right? But there's nothing in any of them. They're all entirely empty the entire way down. And hanging from the ceiling are these various different tubes that kind of float down. And it looks like you can see something that looks almost like a gas mask attached to one of them. Right?
A gas mask?
Yeah. And gas mask is the wrong word. It's much more medical than that, right?
Okay.
What is the... A respirator.
Oxygen mask.
Yeah, an oxygen mask. Yes, oxygen absolutely. Mask, yeah. However, as you move further into the room, you can see that up the stairs, it looks like there is a large piece of equipment kind of at the head and center. And it looks like there's a similar kind of field in the middle of it, as well as some other pieces surrounding it. But in the middle of it, it looks like there's something floating there, something organic looking.
Okay.
I would let Kia know this.
I'll go. Yeah. All right, let's be careful here, okay, Kia? We'll sort of cover you as you go.
I love experiments. Okay, wait.
I know, that's what scares me.
Light the caboose.
where is it? Oh, there it is. The green? up here? Is that it?
Yes, that absolutely is it. Beautiful. So you start to peer inside, and inside is... At first, it's like floating around, and you can't tell what it is, but it clearly has some kind of skin on it, though it's been aged from years and years and years. And as it floats around, you realize that this is the mummified, almost perfectly dried corpse of some kind of humanoid. And not just some kind of humanoid, but from all the signs on it, you can see that this is some kind of young humanoid child, like an infant.
Ew.
Wow.
Sorry. I don't like this at all.
Oh, that's why it's called the nursery, isn't it?
They all saw the episode title and were just waiting for the moment. I assure you, that's not the only reason why it's called the nursery.
Okay.
Oh, good. That's great, what I wanted to hear.
Thanks, Miles.
As every good scientist does, Kia taps on the glass.
And rolls a life science check.
Great. That is a 31.
Oh.
The self-satisfied smile. So you kind of look at this thing, you tap on the glass, right? It kind of like, there actually isn't any glass to tap on, is the key of this, right? Oh. Is that these fields are separated by nothing from the rest of the world, right? It's just a self-contained little gravity-less void. And as this thing rotates around, you see that this creature is, if it's an infant, it's a massive fucking infant.
Oh,
it's huge. It is about just under 3 feet tall if it were to extend its legs. And
wait, pals! Oh, this reminds me. What if this is like the offspring of one of those giant things that we saw? Well, some of you were asleep. When Caster's ex-best friend like shot everybody with light, and then there was that large giantess. What if that's the same kind of creature situation here?
Oh, very, no.
Very possible.
Is this, Miles, is this a pre-gap kind of situation here? Like, what are we looking at? Did we ask that last time? I can't remember.
The building is certainly pre-gap.
It is. Yeah, the building is pre-gap, but these things are not necessarily.
It gets more difficult to tell in here because the other thing that you're noticing as you're looking around is that there's clearly signs of other people being here, right?
Okay, we're like recently. Mm-hmm. Well, obviously because we have somebody in here. Yeah.
I thought of something.
Yes, absolutely.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's totally okay.
I just got really excited. So, since there's no glass for me to tap on, I stick my hand into the gravity field and I just very gently, actually, no, beforehand, I'm going to put a glove. No, she's not.
All of you out there in the dark, I just wish that you could see the looks of horror on the rest of the players' faces as Elena takes this action.
It's more like a deep cringe.
And I just place my, like, pointer finger just on the, like, bridge of its nose as close as I can, and I cast Grave Words.
Sure.
You boop the mummy snoot?
I boop the mummy snoot. So I cast Grave Words, and, I mean, there's only a 10% chance that anything helpful will be said, mm-hmm. but it means that I will have some sort of murmuring utterance of sentences for one round.
Oh, God.
Do you want me to roll a percentile on that?
No, it's my job, and I've done it.
Okay.
Chiron also informed me, Chiron, our rules lawyer in chat, which is not a bad
Thank
thing.
God.
We value
Thank
our
God
lawyers.
For Chiron.
Yes,
yeah.
Thank
they
you.
Keep the law. is that it's my job, and you're not supposed to know.
That makes
Ooh,
sense.
Ooh, the mystery.
Yeah,
we love.
But what emerges into the room is this pealing, ghostly wail.
I hate it.
Of a baby cry that has not cried in this millennium.
So this is a pre-gap baby. It's a baby gap.
Oh my God, it's baby gap. Not sponsored. Yet.
I'm so mad. Oh, I'm so angry.
With a pre-gap baby.
Oh, Parker looks like they're about to die, and I feel similarly. Okay, so as this wail strikes out, you hear footsteps down the way to the east, down this long corridor.
All right, I'm going to place myself in the. She goes, well, that could be Mama, and she's going to place herself between everybody else and the east corridor.
Hiding behind this thing.
Like a good tank does.
Absolutely, Jabby. So you climb behind that thing and you find actually that there is a, one of those ducts. I was having so much trouble finding that word. There's a duct right behind this piece of machinery.
Can I climb into it, please?
Oh, yeah. You bet your sweet tookus you can. You climb into this duct and as you look ahead, it looks like there is another little grate that leads deeper in through another duct, mm-hmm. and you can see like a little bit of glowing light back there.
What color is it?
In Miles' head, he was like, just, and then he finished in his own head, fuck yourself. Is every fucking GM's thought when somebody's like, but what does it taste like? What color is it?
So the color is green.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, green flame, wait, wrong.
Could I do something perchance?
No, Parker, you don't get to act this game. I'm so sorry. Absolutely. Okay. Caster, what are you up to?
Cool. Can I... Okay, so bear with me here. I'm going to run up, and can I use my detonator and a decoupler grenade and attach it to this machine?
Okay, let's roll it back for a second. What is a decoupler grenade?
It's a decoupler. A decoupler grenade is a grenade that makes a nanite cloud in about a 5-foot area, and it has the corrosive ability, I believe.
So, what machine are you attaching it to?
This machine right here that has the baby inside.
Okay. Great. Kia. Kia's not having it. So you're setting it on a detonator, so it's like it's not just like you're tucking a grenade, right? You're like rolling underneath the machine. All right, great.
I'm like thumb on the button, like
Caster,
fuck with me.
Caster wants leverage, I think.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you should have hit it elsewhere.
Great. Beautiful. Everyone but Kia has taken an action. Kia, what you doing? You could just continue to examine it. Or you could scream at Caster. Examining...
Well, yes. So, first of all, how dare you? Second of all, I'm going to, as Caster's putting it on, she's not going to stop him because she's, like, way too excited about this baby. And her hands are kind of doing their own thing while she's looking at him. Mm-hmm. She goes, you better not hurt this specimen. This specimen is now ours. I mean, it's not. It's not ours, but... we need to protect it. This is very important. It's very, very old. This is an old-ass baby.
Make a life science check, Miss Old-Ass Baby.
I will.
So it's grown?
Old-ass baby.
Old-ass baby. It's 19.
Okay.
That is
cool.
Pretty old for a baby.
I mean, baby gap here got years on all of you. So you as you're lecturing Caster, right, you're looking more carefully at this thing. It has tubes attached to it, various different places. It looks like these tubes, and some of them are floating off, but you can see like the remnants of the wounds still deep in this creature. And it looks like it was being kept on... It looks like it was having its blood constantly cycled out and back in. It also looks like it was being automatically fed, and it looks like it was being fed some kind of air, right? Other than the air that it would have normally breathed.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it is dead now. Just, okay. Sorry, I just wanted to know for my notes.
Yeah, and when you touch it, because you have said that you are touching it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
When you touch it, a piece of the skin breaks off and floats free.
Oh, oops, my bad. Well, and she kind of like looks around and tries to make sure nobody sees this, and she just snatches the piece of skin and puts it in a little petri dish and puts it in her fanny pack.
Nice.
She has a fanny pack.
As Kia is lecturing Caster, Caster's going to respond with, well, I don't know what it is or why it's here, but they want it, and if they hurt us, I'm going to hurt it.
And around the corner comes three individuals.
Okay.
These three people are armored up in extremely high-tech battle gear. They all carry assault weapons in their hands. And they don't really have like a uniform but they have no insignia across any part of them. And as soon as they see you, they stop, drop to a knee, and open fire. We are in initiative.
Hello. So I see that's that then.
Oh boy. Oh man.
Right. Fan freaking tastic, y'all. Alright, let me make sure that you guys can see everything. Beautiful. This guy is up first. He is going to take a shot at Amaruk.
The Nuke.
Alright.
Do you need any
I am going to need your kinetic AC in a moment.
22.
He rolled a crit. So that's one way to start this out.
Maybe I'll get to use my new ability.
You're going to take 13 points of damage as this sharpshooter in the back, this scalding merc, drops to his knee and just and fires off a burst of rounds that hits your chest, your center mast, your upper chest, shattering one of your collarbones, and then just like pings off of your force field on your face, and you fly backwards. I need you to roll a fortitude save.
A fortitude save. Mm-hmm. Jeez. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Hiya.
Jesus.
Well, we've gone from a 1 to a 3. What do I get to add to this?
Bad start.
Oh, boy.
14.
Oh, you are just underneath it. You get knocked backwards, and you are prone to start out, Anamaru.
Okay.
All right, but it's your turn.
Okay. Cool. Just doing some quick math. Great. And then we have one of these left. Great. So, let's see. Where are they?
To your right.
To my right.
Down the hall.
Oh, yeah. Not to Amarixla, right? Like to the right on the image. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Right,
cool.
To the all right.
So let's measure. let's take a quick measure. All right. So I'm gonna try and get up in there, but I can't do it all at once. So I'm going to. Last time, what did you say I could do to rush and attack last
charge.
Time?
Charge.
A charge attack?
Charge!
I don't see that as an option for Starfinder combat maneuvers, though.
Let me look it up.
I see a bull
rush. It is a thing. Oh, bull rush is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, bull rush is knock charging, the target back.
Charging is a full action that allows you to move up to double your speed and make a melee attack at the end of the movement. You can draw a weapon during charge attack if your base attack bonus is at least plus
one. Okay, cool. I do it.
Absolutely.
Just as long as it's legal, I just wanted to
make
sure.
Yeah, it is legal, and you have the link now.
Awesome.
Heck yeah.
So that's, can I go one more? Yeah, I can. So I charge into the, I get up. Oh, but I had to get up. So that would have been half my movement. So let me take it back.
To roll it on back.
Sorry. How much movement does it take for me to get up?
That is a good question. Feet? In Starfinder, how much movement does it take to get up?
Half a movement?
That's definitely
D&D.
Yeah.
I remember what it is in.
I think it's a move action, because dropping prone is a swift action.
Yes.
Getting up is a move action. Uh-huh. So yes.
Great.
There that is.
That's unfortunate. But all right, that changes a lot. I'm so sorry.
No, not at all.
All right, cool. So that is my move action. I will begin to attune to plasma, a photon. I was like, plasma's not a thing. I've played this game for over here, I swear. I'm going to attune to photon, and I am going to, I guess, lay down harrying fire so all my people get a bonus to their...
Yes, that's awesome.
Fantastic. Yeah, go
for it. I can't hit them, so I might as well make it easier. I think it gives +2 to everybody else.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll look it up to make sure. But
great.
So for the first time, literally ever, she's like, oh, well, that's not... I hate this thing. And she takes out her stupid pistol and is just like, meh. And starts shooting awkwardly because she's not particularly good at it.
Fantastic. All right. Is that the end of your turn, my friend?
I believe that it is.
She believes. Yeah. All right.
Wow.
Did you roll for it, Anne?
Yeah. To roll for harrying fire? Mm-hmm. What do I need to roll?
Yeah, it's a DC of 15, so it's just attack roll.
Oh, an attack roll, DC 15. Hiya. All right. So all together... That is 17.
Great.
So I'm good.
Well done, Caster. You're up.
Oh, awesome. Okay, cool. So, seeing these guys come in, he's going to call his azimuth laser rifle. It's going to appear in his hands like pixels appearing and then flying away to form a rifle.
Nice.
He's going to use his move action. To do combat tracking, so his eye is going to glow and telemetry is going to feed into his brain. And as he targets this guy and get a +2 on the attack roll. And now I'm going to use... So he goes to use overcharge and he sees how much ammo is left in the rifle. And so for the first time, you guys are going to see his skin just crackle with electricity. And feed into the gun as it's overcharging.
Oh, that's so cool.
As his charged skin is fueling
from just like the touch of his palm into the gun.
I love that's that so cool. You, Parker, made the action to have Caster never reload once so that you could use that ability.
I've never had to. I've never had to reload.
All right, go for
You're
it.
You're too cool.
All right, here we go. So I should. How do I add a plus two to the attack roll?
It should give you in the feed when you hit attack. A little Great. Dialogue will pop up, and you can hit plus two.
Fantastic. All right, so that's going to be laser azimuth. It's going to be a situational bonus plus two.
Boom.
And then roll d20. Yeah, that's right. Normal.
Bang.
Oh, actually, yeah. Sorry. You should. No, you're right. Cooperative would give me another plus two on top of harrying fire, so it would have been plus four to hit. But you already hit.
Ooh,
right?
Missed.
I missed.
So oh, it's,
what if you? It. But what if you add plus another two?
And it's still a miss. Still but bad. Good. Okay. Good try. The shot flies just barely wide over his shoulder. Is that the end of your turn, Caster?
I think I used up all my actions, yes.
All right, fantastic. This guy returns fire at you, Caster.
Great.
And what is your armor class?
If I, kinetic. With the plus two on it. Oh, kinetic?
Mm-hmm.
Plus two would be... oh, my goodness. 21.
Yeah, great. 21. Sorry, fantastic. No, you're quite all right. The shot flies wide and carbon scoring scrapes into the side of the machine behind you. Next person's turn. We are our final merc who takes a shot at you, Amaruk. You're no longer prone. Excuse me. Let me get you up. Though you would be harder to hit if you were prone, but you ain't. All right. Fires off a few bolts, does not hit your armor class with a 16. Flies wide as you duck back and forth. We are around, finally, to Jabby, hiding in the ducts. Duct boy.
I have, hearing all this going on, I send out Gimbal and Jub-Jub to have them dash as close as they can.
Drones.
To here, just by Amaruk, right there. So there are more targets, so they're not just hitting her.
Great, absolutely. Oh, I forgot to set up
There's
your drone.
There's a helicopter in there.
It's gonna be a drone. It's gonna be a drone. Don't worry. Don't
oh
worry.
Oh God, it's huge.
All right. There's Gimbal. There's Jub Jub. Fantastic.
Oh, Gimbal and Jub Jub.
Gimbal and Jub Jub. We love you. All right. Is that the end of your turn, Jabby?
I'm gonna I'm gonna scooch a little for it myself. Oh wait, no, that'd be movement. That's my turn.
All right, fantastic. The Vlaka start to collect at this entrance and look to you, Amaruk, for guidance.
Okay. She is going to point and say, "Herring fire!"
None of them have guns.
Well, God, I tried to give you this gun!
They shrug awkwardly and look a little bit ashamed, like a dog that's done something bad.
I don't know, man. I guess, like, I want them to go in. I want them to all charge these guys.
Great, then they're gonna get ready, right? And they're gonna do a unified charge, right?
Yeah. Perfect.
All right, beautiful. Well, that is their turn, but it ain't over. It's Kia's turn.
Great. So I'm going to run up, like, I'm going to jump down from the platform and run up straight kind of behind Amaruk and then peep my head out the side and go, "We're from the Union. We're from the Union. Hold your fire. We're doing routine checks on your facility. Calm down."
It's
a good show.
I love that you did that. I want to reward you in some way. Take the equivalent of inspiration for trying to be peaceful. Take my admiration, but they aren't part of a union. They're scabs.
Was that a full action, or can I take a shot, or no?
I don't want to rob you of your turn, so take a shot.
Great. So, yeah, I can't really do a shot, but let's see if we can do
shots.
Don't throw away. No matter what, don't throw it away.
Don't throw it away. Not going to throw away my shot.
Actually, I'm gonna run straight up back after I'm like, okay, never mind. And I run straight back to the mummy, and I just press myself like in front of it so that the mummy won't get shot at all.
All right, that's, I love that action. All right, yeah. Fantastic. Character. That is, yeah, exactly. A character action if I've ever heard one. It's this guy's turn again. He pushes forward, slightly continuing to fire at you, Amaruk. The blast, what's it gonna be? What's it gonna be? That's gonna be a hit. This guy's a shot. This guy's a real shot. He is going to do 13 more damage to you, Amaruk. But
okay.
It's your turn to get back at him as more bullets slam, scoring off your armor.
Okay. I wish I didn't have to do math right before I had to decide what to do. But this is how the cookie crumbles. All right. Cool. So now I am up, and now I am mad, and so I charge to here. and I will roll to attack on the first one with my charge attack.
Great.
Let me just check the
excuse me
thing here. Okay, cool. Wah! God!
What'd you get? All right. What'd you get?
So 13 total. I have rolled a 1, a 2, and a 3 tonight, with the exception of my harrying fire.
It's getting better. Just building up.
Building up one at a time. Next roll will be a 4. So
come on, dice. Come on.
All right. That is your turn, unfortunately, which means that we are round to Caster.
It's me.
Caster.
It's Caster. Yeah, I think I am going to just do the same thing again. I am going to, unless there's something I can do with the move action. I'll get closer with the move action so I have more versatility.
So all right, go for it. You can move 35 feet, 30 feet? What's your deal? All right, great. You have gone too far.
It happens.
Happens to the best of us, doesn't it? All right.
One step forward, two step backs. All right, cool. I'm going to target this boyo right here. Nice. And I'm going to use overcharge again using... Actually, no, I'm not going to use my charge skin. I'm just going to use overcharge and my laser rifle. So here
roll
I go.
Roll for that puppy.
I forgot that I don't have any physical dice right now.
He's doing it live. He's doing it in the machine.
Doing it live.
We're merging with Foundry.
Here we go. All right. Imagine. I'm going to do laser azimuth, plus 2 situational bonus. All right. Here we go. It's roll.
Eat it.
Ooh, yeah. Is there anything situational going on?
What do you mean anything
that you can add to that roll?
I didn't know if anyone was still harried. It doesn't sound like they are. Oh, you! It's an energy, right? Yeah, you miss. You miss just barely. It like splashes off the side of his armor, and he looks back at you, scared and surprised. All right, is that the end of your turn?
That's gonna be at the end of my turn.
That is going to be the end of your turn. I'm gonna return fire against you, Caster, as this guy sees you coming forward and engaging. The blast goes off in a short staccato burst. Is 19 a hit for you?
For which
kinetic?
Casey?
Oh, right on the money, yes, isn't it?
Oh, wow.
Just barely clips you, but manages to pierce through your armor. You take 12 points of damage as it slams into you. Yeah, you take care of damage, please. All right. Next up, that's the end of his turn. Okay, this guy that's next to Amaruk dodges Amaruk's swing and throws down, shooting at your legs with his shot. Is an 18 a hit for you against Kinetic?
No!
Woo! Woo, she fine. She good. If you dodge out of the way, some of it, like, scrapes off the ground behind you as these bullets ricochet across the metal.
Yeah.
But you are safe for this turn. And Jabby, you're up.
All right. Sending the drones in again. This one right here.
There should have been drones.
Booby-doo. There ought to be drones.
The drones.
That's when I stopped. Okay, I can't seem to move it, but I want the drones to go here.
You got it. I'll take care of it, and I'll make it so that you can 35, use it next.
Yep, there, and then so they're both here. Jub-Jub is melee, so he's going to go in later, but right now I'm going to take an attack with Gimbal.
Ooh,
that's a nat one.
Ooh,
no. God, why do we suck so bad tonight?
So, Gimbal's propulsion system, which is like a little mini drift drive, just kind of starts to sputter out for a bit, so he just kind of flips upside down.
Several flips and then recovers.
Yeah.
Did you put a drift drive in the drone?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking. I just
little ones, know. Little ones, little baby drifts.
I'll give you notes later.
Okay. Thanks.
I see.
Notes.
Wow.
That's
turn.
Your turn. Yeah. Okay.
Because I already did a movement attack.
I love those moments when we're like, all right, fantastic. The Vlaka, it's the Vlaka's time. They come around the corner rushing forward in a torrent. Let me do a little bit of movement magic here as they rush forward. They're doing their best.
Charge. The Valkyrie song plays.
For those listening and not watching, it's just Miles just pathing all of the Vlaka one at a time.
Yeah.
One at a time.
It's a mighty charge indeed.
It's so good.
Don't worry, Shiz. We'll shift the image over so you can see. It's just Miles has to get the Vlaka over
there. I didn't know they shifted. Yep, let me go. Now you can see. Look at that. You can see. You can see the light.
And like magic, the Vlaka appear.
The Vlaka appear. All right, I'm going to...
My people!
Like the eagles.
Yeah. Boom.
Whoa.
That's a lot of Vlaka! Oh, boy, that's a lot of Vlaka.
Imagine if I hadn't rolled badly on that convince check last time and we just had a whole hold of like 30 untrained Vlaka.
Two hit, one miss, three hit... Four hit, five hit. Well, they can hit, but they have about as great of a success rate as you guys do. So that is five hits.
Every little bit counts, okay.
Yeah, it's fine. We'll whittle them down.
We'll
make them shaky.
Spears and pieces of pipe slam into this guy's face, doing, oh goodness, yeah, that is a significant amount of damage, as he stumbles backwards. Yes. This guy, a little bit further back, takes two hits, one to his teeth and the other to his thigh as he kind of backs up to regain his ground again. But they're both looking okay. They're not in significant danger just yet. That they're definitely bloodied at this point.
I just want to point out that like it was fairly quiet in here, and they 100% got the drop on us, and then we keep missing, and then out of nowhere, there's just a cloud of wolves that just descend forward upon them that were just around the corner. Oh, God, it's so good.
That's really good.
All right, fantastic. That is the end of their turn. It's Kia's turn.
Well, okay, so I look up to where Jabby was, and I'm like, all right, scooch over.
And I scooch over. I want to hop over the thing and, like, slide in next
Absolutely.
My pal.
I got you.
There we go. And I would love to see if I can see... what's further down the
you got
little
it.
Duct
let me
way.
Open
I'm going to throw
this,
my leaf.
Let me open this
boy.
Secret door with founder mechanics.
Boy.
Oh,
boy.
So I don't need to throw my leaf.
You throw your leaf and you see that there's like a little junction ahead. It looks like there might be more different places, but it looks like this is a more significant kind of... Oh, excuse me. A more significant like ventilation and duct system ahead.
Oh. Okay.
Jabby, if we need to get out of here fast, we need to get all the people to come with us. I mean, not all the people. Maybe just Caster and Amaruk. And then we blow up the tank with the mummy. Don't worry, I'm going to take the mummy before we blow it up. And then they can't follow us through here.
Yep. That's a good idea.
So I just like go on comms really quick and I go, okay, so I'm gonna grab the mummy. Amaru can cast her if you want to like get out of here. I'm behind the tank. We can blow up the thingy. And yes.
You just hear so much barking. I guess wolves don't bark, but like my canon is that they do.
Sorry, I don't think I heard you. Podcasters.
Yes. Yeah. The sweet ASMR.
You can bark if you want to.
Continue, caster.
Sorry, I don't think I heard you correctly. You said you're going to take the mummy?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, I am.
What? We don't even know what it is.
It's a baby.
Why leave? We have them on the ropes.
And says, rolling another 4. All right. This next merc is, we're back around to the top of the order. Our hotshot merc is going to try to bring you down, Amaruk, with another attack against you. He is going to miss this time, though, right? With a 17?
Yeah,
that is a miss. It's not good enough. Right. But it's your turn. Can you do good enough?
Oh, well, now that I'm here, and so, well, you know what? Let's do the storytelling after I've rolled. Yes! Oh, yes, that's a natural 20.
Yay!
That's a natural 20. Yes. Oh! Sorry, I got too excited. I'm so sorry, podcast / murder sauce when you edit that. I just was naturally very excited. Okay, so so on the first one, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm doing a full attack action, right? So I'm attacking this one, the first one that I just highlighted. Then I will cleave into the second one for another natural 20. I'm not even fucking kidding.
Okay.
Okay. So let's
that's
roll
my
those
suspicious
first.
Voice.
Yeah. That's, I can't, listen, I can't, it was just charging it up. All right. Let me go ahead and roll here in this because it will add faster. So do this. Roll. All
boom.
Right. So that is a 23 damage on the first hit. And double that because it's
a crit.
Yeah. Ooh. So that's 40.
You're close enough. It's like massive damage, right? Where yeah. I'm just going to knock that guy out.
Okay, cool. Cool. And then I'll do on the second one.
Another crit.
Okay, roll. All right, great.
Total?
So, wow. Oh my God. 30
on the second one. 30 on the second one. Oh my God, yeah. I'm a rook.
Cool. How's he doing? You still up? You up?
Nope.
Great. Okay. Tell your story, and cool. You earned
okay.
it.
So I'm so excited. Okay. So she is just like she's under fire from like all sides of all of these three sharpshooters, right? Mm-hmm. So she gets up in their faces and she waits and she's like trying really hard to just land a hit, and she's starting to kind of feel badly about herself, and then she feels this natural kinetic energy of the hunt that you know Clan Yuka is so known for, hunting together on the tundra, and she feels that wonderful feeling that she hasn't felt in so long of all of the Vlaka moving as one giant swarm together as a pack. And she is just uplifted and just smashes her fist weapon first into the guy's face.
Get your hand away from the mic.
Sorry. She smashes her first fist weapon through the guy's face and out the back of his skull.
Ooh.
And then she kicks back with her other leg and just goes down into that guy's, like lands on his chest and goes down into it.
Crunch! And this sickening
and then
sound.
Howls victoriously.
Great. Caster, you got anything you want to do?
Yeah. Question though.
Yeah.
I have this guy in my line of sight, but I also have 5 other Vlaka.
You could go up the stairs and you'd be able to shoot over top, I'd say.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, -2 penalty, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, that far away? Because, all right, let's see. So that's like 65 feet
no,
away.
No, because
so
of the cover. Up. Stairs end right here. Yeah, so if you,
you
go.
Oh, I see. And they get, and So, all right, so then I can't use my move action then in order to...
Yeah, you're just going to have to throw it.
I'll have to take that negative two then. All right. In that case, let's see. Yeah, I'll do one more overcharge, and if it doesn't work, then it wasn't meant to be. That's a good way to look at it. All right, so here we go. I'm going to go attack. Find my weapons. There it is. All right. I'm going to use my charge shot. Here I go. I'm going to attack, and it's going to be great.
Oh, I'm so close to the 20.
No.
Oh, my God.
Mm. Unfortunate.
Oh, it flies over his head, but the next thing that happens as this guy turns to run is that the Vlaka surge forward and just tackle him to the ground, pinning him down. And that encounter's over.
Yeah, so good.
Hell yeah.
They like pin him down and they begin to drag him back towards the opening of the area, right?
Guys just came through. Let's pull them back here, right, where I'm clicking.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then let's do a little bit of interrogation because that guy's alive.
Yes, he is. He absolutely is.
Yeah. So Amaruk is gonna head over there, and kind of wait for she's gonna send on comms and say, "We have one of them. We're ready to ask the questions that need to be asked."
Okay.
So don't worry about running away or like killing a baby Kia.
I wasn't gonna kill the. It's already dead.
Oh,
yeah. Anyways. I was the one who put that as Plan B.
Oh well,
I'm not gonna
Caster.
Lie.
Okay, so she kind of approaches the guy and she's like, you know, pushing through the crowd of Vlaka as this 7 foot tall white wolf woman approaches the front of this phalanx of her pack, and she says, "Well, I suppose you might like to have a conversation now."
I'd love to have a conversation.
Dirt bath? No.
The dude looking up at you is Triaxian.
Okay.
Oh.
What does a Triaxian look like? You know, for people who don't know.
Let me double check real quick. Let me just make sure I have this. Triaxian. So your Secretary of State is a Triaxian. He has slightly gently furred skin, like a short-haired dog, right? These kind of long, spindly ears, chihuahua-like, right? But is not like a dog in any other way other than long, long eyebrows.
Bat Boy.
Yeah. And right now, he is like, his fur is all white. Right? Because on his planet, it's winter and his body is acclimatized to whatever that may be. Yeah.
I get it. Mm-hmm. She says, "So, what exactly are you doing here?"
Look, I'm just on contract. I'm sorry. I shot at you, and I'm trying to protect a thing, but contractually, I can surrender, but I cannot tell you what I'm protecting, and I don't even know who hired me.
Well, that would be really great if let's take it back. Sorry.
Yeah, roll that back. That
roll that one back. That would be great if, like, she doesn't say that. She says, "Oh, okay, so I suppose, you know, your contract is more important to you than your life?"
If I betray my contract, it is my life, essentially, right? The guild.
You seem really calm about that.
Well, it's not the first time I've been captured, and honestly, I expect you to uphold the other end of my contract as well, right? As my capturing force, because otherwise it's gonna really suck for you too.
Excuse me, tell me more about that.
Absolutely. So I am contracted under the Better Mercs Bureau of the Pact Worlds, right? I have a non-disclosure agreement contract that allows me to kill at will to defend my contracted whatever I'm contracted to defend, right? But upon being captured or kidnapped. My contract with them is moot. I get half pay, which sucks, but I've been here a long time already, so the pension math is pretty good for me. So honestly, I'm glad that this is over. This place is terrible. There's no amenities. I'm just glad to be here and glad that you didn't kill me like Steve and Jeffries.
Oh, yeah, it's too bad about them. Amaruk, I'm fine with upholding this man's contract. Have you heard of Brightclaw?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously we're gonna have to capture you. I'm so sorry about that. But if we uphold the end of your contract, that's fine. If you're ever looking for work, we constantly need more fighters. You can see we have a really nice crowd here. Were you protecting that baby at all?
No. Babies, no. We make fun of it when we're drunk.
Amazing. So is it okay if I take it?
By me? Yeah, absolutely. Look, I expect you to imprison me for an amount of time, and you'll be paid for my release in a couple months.
Nice. Okay.
And it's having an existential crisis about the prisoner situation.
This is the smoothest interrogation I think we've ever had.
We're not actually getting any information, Caster.
Yeah, I can't.
I'm still happy for you.
I can't.
Interrogation.
I can't give you any information. I'm sorry.
I would love to loot the other two bodies and start going through their data pads since you can't talk to them.
Yes, give us all your stuff so that we can research that. Then you don't have to say anything.
Great, great. That sounds good. Having a good day? Good day so far?
Yeah. No.
I have an idea.
Kia is high on science right now.
Yes.
Oh my God, so good.
So I am going to pull out a little chocolate bar and be like, sorry for the sort of rough handling there. You seem hungry. You want something?
To make a bluff check.
Great. And
Is it a candy bar?
It's a poison chocolate bar?
Yeah, what are you feeding this poor man?
Is it a grenade? Oh my God.
I mean, he did try to kill you.
Don't worry about it.
Definitely.
Oh my God, I was gonna ask him
it's
out.
Don't
be weird.
Where is bluff? Bluff check.
Kia was going to ask him out. Little prison date. I can feed you grapes through the bars.
Come on.
Boy.
He goes,
that is sad.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's against my contract to accept food until I'm like in an official prison.
And Caster is going to approach him like, no, please, I insist. Please. It's absolutely. And he's going to like go close enough to like his mouth.
Jeez, like,
can I try and grab it? Caster, can I?
This is between the two of you.
Yeah. What do you think, Parker? Is that all right? It's okay if no.
What is the intention? I'm just curious.
Just to take it so that I can look at it.
Yeah, you can take it.
Cool. So I like grab it real quick, and I'm like, where's the nutritional facts on this? And I just want to look at like ingredients, and see like what it is, what kind of chocolate bar.
Great.
Is it something sketchy? I don't want to
go for it.
Let
Parker go. What's the plan? What's going on? What does Kia see, Caster?
They see an ordinary chocolate bar. It's like freshly opened.
All right.
Oh, it's opened.
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, can I have some?
I want to feed our hostage first.
He goes, now I really don't want that chocolate bar.
Yeah, that's sketchy. All right.
So I gotta find out. What are you doing, Caster?
Glamour.
It's my glamour knife.
Yeah, called it.
He was just gonna eat a knife?
Well, I was just gonna let him like about to put his teeth on it and then glamour it while it's in its mouth.
You were gonna make this dude eat a knife? I'm sure that's against some space Geneva convention somewhere.
I wasn't gonna make him eat a knife, not eat it, just like present it and then when I get close enough, glamour it back and just be like,
now that we're in talking terms.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm sorry that I let Kia stomp all over your plan, Parker. I'm really sorry.
Sorry.
Great. Okay. So this is terrible.
Can I loot the bodies?
Yeah.
I've been trying to loot these damn bodies.
Yeah, Jabby, take it away.
Okay, I want to look through, I want to find anything valuable, and I want to see data pad info.
Absolutely. Do they have data pads on them? they do have personal data pads on them.
And I hack. Mm-hmm. I would love to try hacking.
You do a hack.
Okay. Yeah, the two corpses and this dude don't have particularly well-protected data pads. I'm not even going to make you roll, mm-hmm. right?
Wonderful.
One of the dudes is having, like, you look through text messages and stuff. One of the dudes is having, like, some serious multiple relationships with multiple people who none of them knew about it, and they're on different packed worlds, right? It looks like two of them he picked up during contracts over the past 5 years, right? He has kids with one of them. It's very salacious. The other one is mostly part of a text-based role-playing guild. Set in an office where they're also magicians. It's called
The Office.
No, it's called Copy Magic. And he's like actually not a bad writer. If he put in mind to it, he could probably like write some short stories and it would be pretty good.
These are the ones who are dead?
They're
now?
The two corpses, yeah. The people that you killed.
Yeah.
So one good, one a little sweet and sour. And the I don't know why I'm in this mood right now.
I don't know but I'm here.
I like it. I like it.
And the dude that you have captured, he has a wife and kids back on Triaxis, right? It seems like he's a member of a clan. It was like a little bit not good that he left, right, with the rest of his clan. But his family's doing okay. And he sends money back regularly. His finances are in order. I need you to make a computer's check to break into his banking stuff.
Yeah, definitely want to do that. Also download that other stuff because that might be really interesting for some NPCs in the game I'm making. you know, taps back in from dissociating just to get that stuff. Computers total is a 19, so not my best.
Not the best, but enough to break into this guy's, like, chunker. Merc password, right?
Right.
So he's been receiving like significant payments from a blanket mercenary organization, right? Like so kind of run of the mill that it does not even deserve a name because it would be something so white bread and something that has been repeated 5 times over, probably by the same owner, right? In the packed worlds that it doesn't even matter. So like, as far as where the money is coming from originally, you have no idea right now.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
He looks up and says, say hi to my kid for me. Tell her I'm coming home soon.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Types.
I mean, hopefully. Okay. As long as
Amaruk
you don't execute
has
me.
Just been, like, looking... Me. No, sorry. So Amaruk is looking at all of these different actions that have been taken. None of them are terrible, right? But none of them have really gotten us farther. And it's that thing where, like, she's been fighting, so her blood is up. And she still doesn't feel like she's won, which we know has gone very well before. And she just, like, looks down at her hands and she's like, they look like strong hands. Like, it looks like, I thought I was in control of this situation. I'm so very clearly not. She goes over, takes out a set of manacles.
Mm-hmm.
Manacles up, like reaches out for the guy's hand, hands respectfully.
Yeah, absolutely. In front, yeah, I hope.
She kind of like growls, 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 and like she growls.
She Dave growls.
She Dave. Yeah, so she puts the manacles on and then says to two of the Vlaka, to escort this gentleman. She doesn't say it like that. Why? She's Amaruk. She goes, so I'm going to need two volunteers to escort this gentleman, captive, whatever, to the ship and hold him there. Be nice to him, you know, give him the typical treatment we give to prisoners.
and then we'll deal with him later.
Do we have an HR department? Do we need an HR? You know what? Putting a pin in that.
All right. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Two of your Vlaka and, volunteer yeah. and disappear with this guy yeah. up the stairs. Let me take care yep. of that real quick.
Cool. And she looks at the rest of them and she's like, is anybody else frustrated by this? Is it just me?
It's well, been a very frustrating day, so.
Truly. Just means we have to keep on looking, I guess.
I found a secret door, tunnel, yeah. junction. I threw that my works. Leaf. Yeah.
Okay, well, maybe we'd be more likely to be able to sneak up on people if we go that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's take their guns and then go to the secret tunnel.
Yeah.
Secret tunnel.
Miles, yes?
I'm trying to get you to be quiet so I can give you more information as everything is
going to
continue.
I know, I would love that.
Yeah. You just sounded like you were like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So as you talk about this, there's a subtle like klaxon that you start to hear in the background underneath Uh-oh. your conversation, this alarm going off somewhere deeper in.
Yeah, which direction?
To your east. Down the hallway,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
it sounds like, yeah.
She says, well, I mean, we don't necessarily want to avoid confrontation, don't we? We want to find the person who sent this message and they're being held here. So no, you're right. We do want to avoid confrontation. Maybe let's follow up on the area that Kia and Jebby found and try to find another way down to wherever they're holding our new friend.
Frenemy? I don't know. It's been a weird day.
All right.
Cool.
So you guys head into this, oh my god. I am just like 95 to 100% burps right now. I'm so sorry, everyone.
Would that have counted as 10 minutes of time that we could have used our resolve or no?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, go ahead and do your re-upping of what does it do? It does health points, etc., right?
It just it brings back your stamina to full and you get rid of one resolve point.
Beautiful. Yeah. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you guys are in charge of your health points.
Someone's gotta be.
Someone's gotta be. All right. So you all crawl into this tiny crawl space and emerge out into this junction, right? And the soft green light kind of fades down on top of all of you. And it looks like there's multiple tubes that look like they are still now, right? But these plastic tubes, slightly covered in dust, have some kind of glowing green liquid inside of them above you. Kia, you grab the mummy, right?
Yeah, carefully.
Fantastic.
I'll be following up behind. I'll probably try and store it.
Wrapped it in saran wrap.
Yes.
Put in some Tupperware.
And just stuffed it in your body size Tupperware.
Yes.
It's huge.
Tupperware baby.
And it's like strapped on your back like you're playing Death Stranding. And you're
Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing.
And yeah. And as you move forward, you realize that this glowing liquid kind of like still has a slight pulsation to it, Kia.
That's very odd. Can I take like a syringe or something and like try and like?
Yeah, you absolutely can. So you take a little bit of a couple different of them because they seem to be like different fluids, right? Can you roll a life science check for me?
Yes. That is a 17.
Amazing. Beautiful. So one of these is a long dead plasma. Full, just like pumping full of also dead nanobots.
What?
And the other one is some kind of highly specific nutrient paste.
Probably what was feeding the baby.
And the final one is this kind of glowing, magically charged air.
For the baby.
And that's our break. Yeah.